I grabbed a sandwich from the mess and walked outside with Roger Cressy to the parking lot that had once been a public street, known as West Executive Avenue. My car was still parked askew in front of the West Wing. It was the only vehicle left. The night was clear and quiet. We were in the middle of Washington, and there was hardly a sound. I debriefed Roger on the principal's meeting with the president. I realized then that until today, I had not ever briefed the president on terrorism, only Cheney, Rice, and Powell. We had finally had our first principal's meeting on terrorism only a week earlier. The next step was to have been a briefing to walk the president through our proposed National Security Presidential Directive. The Washington Post later reported that this directive had, as its goal, to eliminate al-Qaeda. The plan called for arming the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan to go on the offensive against the Taliban, pressing the CIA to use the lethal authorities it had been given to go after bin Laden and the al-Qaeda leadership. Bush had never seen the plan, the pieces of which had first been briefed to Cheney, Rice, Powell, and others on his team in January 2001. I had not been allowed to brief the president on terrorism in January or since, not until today, September 11th. It had taken since January to get the cabinet-level meeting that I had requested urgently within days of the inauguration to approve an aggressive plan to go after al-Qaeda. The meeting had finally happened exactly 1 week earlier, on September 4th. Now, as I was telling Cressy, I thought the aggressive plan would be implemented. Well, that's fucking great. Sounds like they're finally going to do everything we wanted. Where the hell were they for the last 8 months? Cressy asked. Debating the fine points of the ABM treaty, I answered, looking up at the sky for fighter cover. Yeah, they'll probably deploy the armed predator now, too, Cressy said, referring to his project to kill bin Laden with an unmanned aircraft. The CIA had been blocking the deployment, refusing to be involved in running an armed version of the unmanned aircraft to hunt and kill bin Laden. Roger Cressy was still fuming at their refusal. If they had deployed an armed predator when it was ready, we could have killed bin Laden before this happened. Yeah, well, this attack would have happened anyway, Rog. In fact, if we had killed bin Laden in June with the Predator, and this attack still happened, our friends at CIA would have blamed us, said the attack on New York was retribution, talked again about the overly zealous White House counterterrorism guys. I tried to think ahead of what we could best do now. From here on in, it's a self-implementing policy. Or as you guys from the Pentagon would say, a self-looking ice cream cone. But it's too late. Way too late. The best thing you and I can do now is figure out how to block any follow-on attack. We walked back in. The next task was securing the air transportation system so flights could resume. U.S. aviation had long been insecure, and the 1997 Commission on Aviation Safety and Security had avoided the tough decisions like federalizing airport security. The FBI had even attempted to eliminate the Federal Air Marshal Program in 1998, arguing that armed FAA agents on hijacked aircraft could be killed by FBI's commandos storming a hijacked aircraft. Now, we had thousands of aircraft scattered at airfields all over the United States and Canada, and probably 250,000 passengers sleeping on airport floors. We also had a continuing threat. Had all of the al-Qaeda teams struck? We resumed our video conference, and I put the question to FAA. How could we resume flight?